The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, Bahamas. Good morning and welcome back to 0.9 FM Guardian Radio. It is Thursday, the 27th of May, 2021, and that must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have a brief message to start the show from the Ministry of Finance. Join the Ministry of Finance today, Thursday, May the 27th at 10 a.m. for the National Budget Press Conference. Watch the live stream on Facebook via the Ministry of Finance's page or tune into your favorite local TV or radio station. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. And so that means while you're tuned into 96.9 FM on your radio, you can tune into the budget conference on Facebook. You can also tune into this discussion on guardiantalkradio.com, where we're streaming live audio and video. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. And listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96, 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Well, good morning and welcome to On the Clock. Today, my guests that will be joining us in a moment are Dr. Chris Curry from the University of the Bahamas, Mr. Joey Gaskins, Mr. Q Ferguson, and another guest will be joining us shortly. I'm still trying to confirm their name, but we're going to be talking about the second debate in the National Political Debate Series being organized by University of the Bahamas and Verizon Media. This is going to be a wonderful discussion. There's some new changes. And if you watched the first debate, I'm sure you're very interested in finding out how the second debate will differ from the first debate. There are also some exciting advancements in the way that we're going to do this debate. So I think it's important for people to tune in, especially if you are a citizen who is looking for ways to participate in the process of governance. The debate system, the political debate, is a way for us average citizens to participate in governance. I don't want to say politics, because what we're really doing is how we choose the people to govern us, right? And this coming debate is going to offer even more options for participation than the prior debate. So I think that's going to be very exciting. And we'll bring those guys in a moment, but I've got some what's in the headlines and some news to talk about. So, first off, as a woman and a person who is related to women, I'm very happy that the Prime Minister announced the elimination of VAT on what we call feminine hygiene protection products, like sanitary pads and tampons. This is very, very good. When I say it's very, very good, it's kind of like the way where you, when you're like 13 and you learn how to tie your shoelaces finally and your mother looks at you and says, very, very good. It's something really you should have learned a long time ago. We should have removed that on these feminine hygiene products from the day it was implemented. We should have removed duty long time. Imagine the vast majority of women, people with uteruses, have a menstruation cycle and they issue blood from their body once a month and are still expected to function in society. And the amount of money that women have to pay for this basic, we call it like amenity even, this basic product is exorbitant. And that's just people in Nassau, that's just women in Nassau. Wait till you go to the Family Islands and find out how much tampons cost there. It took you all too long to do this. And so it's important that you know that ain't nobody voting for you because you have finally done the right thing. This is what you should have done a long time ago. Don't dangle this like a carrot on a stick. For us women, it can take a whole lot more than this to convince us that you are the party of women. And don't say you did it for women, you know, because you don't think the men in women's lives are concerned about their ability to take care of themselves in this basic way? You don't think the men in women's lives struggle and get frustrated that they can't afford to give their woman, the women them, ensure that they are able to access the things that they need? I have a text here. Good morning, Aaron. I wished the PM would make feminine hygiene products free for women. I'm unemployed and it's extremely difficult to purchase these items sometimes, but it is a step in the right direction, I suppose. It is a step in the right direction. In fact, I expected to see feminine hygiene products like pads and tampons in the food distribution boxes. If not, there should have been a similar distribution network for other needs of people. Thank you very much, Texter. Another text says, the PLP is like a beautiful cake, but when you bite into it, it's styrofoam. Don't be fooled by their facade, as they are only myth relative to good governance. Well, thank you, Texter, for bringing up the PLP, because I did not bring them up. I didn't even reference them, but I'm glad that you did bring them up because I wanted to talk about them. You made it so much easier to make this transition to the words of the MP4. Is that Exuma? Chester Cooper, referencing Ragged Island. And I almost fell out of my chair. Government has no credibility left on Ragged Island. I'm glad you said government, Chester. Because at least you potentially recognize that the government is the right word. Both the PLP and the FNM have lost credibility on Ragged Island. It gone. It finished. In fact, both the now Prime Minister, because he wasn't Prime Minister at the time, and the Deputy Leader of the PLP, he's now the leader of the PLP, both of them have made remarks, and I'll paraphrase, to suggest that it is a prudent policy to allow foreign direct investors to come in and develop far-flung family islands. Maybe you don't remember your now leader saying that in the midst or post a devastating hurricane in one of our southern family islands. None of you have any credibility left on Ragged Island. You don't listen to the people of Ragged Island. You don't listen to the descendants of the people of Ragged Island. You don't listen to regular Bahamians. Who y'all listening to? Have you stopped even to consider the tremendous archaeological value, the rich history embedded in the soil and rock and limestone of that island and what it means for the country? It's almost as if all y'all think about is yourselves and your political agendas. And LOI do believe that that may be the case. In fact, LOI, I'm very concerned about MP Kwesi Thompson. I had the fortune of seeing a picture of Mr. Thompson yesterday holding the illustrious red box. And this young man, and I have to call him a young man, because first of all, he is a young man in this game of politics. As young as me, I'm probably a little older than him, but maybe not. This young man is holding that bag, that box. Sorry, we like to call it a bag. You all like to think of it as a bag, actually. You're holding that box. And all I see is a little boy. If I were you, I wouldn't let them put that box in my hand. I wouldn't touch that. As far as I'm concerned, that's Pandora's box. And have you asked yourself, why are you the one holding it, Mr. Thompson? Yeah, you thought about that? Why he let you hold the box? I don't think he won't hold it. I think he want to be as far away from that box as possible. And since we're talking about optics, right? Because yesterday I referenced that beautiful picture from the BCPOU meeting. And it was beautiful because it was rich with meaning, right? There was a lot that we could read from it. And in the same way, Mr. Thompson, I want to point out two things to you. I want you to look at that picture and look at the other men in the picture with you and ask yourself, are they smiling? They are not smiling. You know why? Because that's the most important picture they're going to take in their careers as politicians, a picture with their hand on the box. There's no time for smiling, sir. Don't let this political culture consume you like it has done many. That's the people's lives, their livelihoods, their futures in that box. And you delighted just to hold it. Mr. Thompson, that's not a good look. Also, I would hate for you to be a pawn in a game of politics. Putting that box in your hand is like putting the box in the hand of Grand Bahama. It almost felt like you were, not you, but the competent authority, that their prime minister was writing a letter to Grand Bahama to say, see, look how important you are to me. I let you touch the box. I let you carry it in to the building. It's very important that we don't let optics and the political culture consume us, Mr. Thompson, dear Bahamians. Also, look at the picture on the cabinet steps. Not the one in front of the House of Assembly. Not that one. That's a good one, you know, but not that one. Look at the one in the front of the Guardian, because it is similar. Not quite the same, but similar. Look how they're lined up. Look at the power brokers. Look at them walk into the house. All of that is telling. All of that is very, very telling. And LOI do believe we need to pay attention to it. LOI, hope you understand what I am saying. I got another text here. Chest and Brave are playing politics and doing too much. It's time to retire them. They are desperate for power. Keep them out. The FNM will make Ragged Island shine again. Oh, boy. I don't know if the FNM have enough paint to make it shine again, because that's all they seem to be doing is prettying things up. I got a couple more texts here I'm going to read. I'd advise Bahamians to take advantage of the incentives that's in the budget. Don't allow politics to blind your judgment. Don't mind those who are criticizing and looking for cheap political brownie points, because you too miss out on these opportunities. The budget yesterday shows that this government is interested in giving Bahamians a hand up instead of a hand down. Teach a man how to fish instead of giving him a fish daily. The PLPs believe in borrowing monies and giving out loose contracts to appease their supporters. Thank you very much, Texter. Teach a man to fish instead of giving him a fish daily. I would suggest what we do is we teach a man the value of owning a boat versus a car in the largest archipelago in the region. That's what we do. We teach him the value of a boat. We teach him how to maintain the boat. We teach him what to do with it. Because surely once he is immersed in his natural environment as an islander, he will quickly learn how to catch fish. That's really what it is, Texter. I like what you did there, but let's do it better. Right? Sure, take advantage of the incentives in the budget. You know why, Bahamians? That's your money. That's your money and your things, and you take advantage of it no matter how you intend on voting. Don't let anybody suggest to you that because you took advantage of an incentive offered by a particular administration that you're beholden to vote for them. That's your things. And that's your money. Another text. Why isn't the Luthera on the free trade zone list? I don't know. That's very interesting. It could be because Eleuthera, having been left in the wilderness for many, many years, decided to begin to govern itself and create infrastructure and mechanism that serves Eleuthera and the people who want to be there. And maybe that's why. In the same vein, I say to us, let's look at Eleuthera as a model for those of us that are considering doing the same thing. Another text. Aaron, the PM's feminine products move, though a good thing, is but a political thing. I think you know that already, though, and what LOI mean. LOI can't believe you don't know what LOI means. Do you remember when the now, was he Minister of Health, was imparted a PLP? And he apparently was responsible, or maybe not, because we never found out. But anyway, somebody alleges that an LOI, a letter of intent, was issued from the administration that Renwood Wells was sitting in as he was responsible or partially responsible. Yeah, I don't think he was all the way in charge. He's partially responsible for some things in that particular space. And it was alleged that an LOI was issued. And the current government, FNM administration, took that man to task. And the PLP to task over this LOI. And then I woke up one morning and all of a sudden, Renwood Wells was a member of the FNM. And LOI couldn't believe it. And LOI still don't know how he became the Minister of Health. LOI don't know why he's standing on the front line in this picture. With such a, you know, heavy allegation over his head. Except in politics, it's only an allegation if the opposing side lays it on the table. If ordinary, regular people who pay your salary don't, if they do it, it ain't nothing to even worry about. So LOI want to remind y'all, and in particular, Mr. Kwesi Thompson, of how consuming and overwhelming the political culture could be to the point where it could destroy your personal and professional integrity. And that's what LOI mean. Another text. From Maid, deodorant and other hygiene products duty-free, but they were not VAT-free. When the going gets tough, make your own hygiene products, which can be sewn, made by hand. You can use old cloths or cloth diapers. Cloth diapers are duty-free. And you know what? This is an interesting point. I had a conversation yesterday afternoon with an older Bahamian that grew up in Jamaica for a short time about it, right? So we have two different sort of living experiences happening that he was familiar with at the same time. And he was relaying to me how that is what poor people do. And in fact, you go to Cuba right now. You could go to Cuba right now. And women are making what they call blood cloths, right? That's where the term that we don't say on radio came from. They're making their own sanitary products. But I'm going to be honest with you. It is 2021. And there's a whole bunch of people lying off in this paper who get paid to govern. And not one of us women going to sit here to consider making by hand sanitary pads while they sit in that House of Assembly and in the Cabinet building doing a poor job, getting paid their full salary, living on the memory of two and three. And I remember the judicial meeting where they had 10 meets. And you telling me in 2021 women should be happy for life and just go back to making sanitary pads with cloth? Y'all want to shut this whole country down, eh? And don't think there wouldn't be men behind us ready to help. They'll be there. What a ridiculous idea. And see, Mr. Kwesi Thompson, that's why you need to be careful of what you let people put in your hand. You're sitting right there. You should have let Mr. Bannister hold that, for he is responsible for that too, in case he forgot. Good morning. Bahamians need to see past party politics. No, no. See, that's like saying you need to see past color in the issue of race. You need to see party politics clearly. You need to delve in it to understand it and then deconstruct it and shift it entirely. If you continue to ignore it, like white people keep telling us, and ontologically white people keep telling us to ignore race, it's not real, I don't see color, on their way to the Holocaust Memorial. No, you don't ignore it. We need to see it for what it is. Most importantly, so we could understand the role that we play personally in it, deconstruct it, burn it out of ourselves first, and create something that is worthy of taking part in. Aaron, under Papa, I did not know Kwesi could have speak. Anyhow, is Minna's cousin trying to cover for Minna's flaws? I didn't even know Minna's had a cousin, I could be honest with you. I have no idea. Aaron, this budget sounds like a fairy tale. If economy has not grown much over 1%, it could magically grow to 4% in pandemic. Wishful thinking helps. Galvanized votes must be. I got you. Wishful thinking helps galvanize votes, maybe. Hope does galvanize votes. Trust me. The F&M removal of VAT on female products and additional reductions are not campaign ploys. They are campaign promises. There is a difference. So does a promise become a ploy when it becomes obvious that they have no intention of fulfilling it? Or when they have the actual capacity to fulfill it, like they're actually in office now, and I could see they ain't going to do it? Because it's hard to tell the difference between a promise and a ploy in this game. Another text, Ms. Green, even in Cuba, sanitary pads are free and in the rations given to families. I have used them before. The quality is great and made by Cubans. Man, look here. We have a Bahamian that has a company in the Dominican Republic making sanitary protection products for women. And you don't see them here in the Bahamas. One more text and then I'm going to take a break. And I've got to get to my guests this morning. You learn something new every day on Guardian Radio. LOL. The blood cloth thing was informative. Look here. Thank you. I mean, the LOL, I appreciate it, right? But this is serious. Do you think that women are going to comprise over 50%, and maybe just slightly over, but roughly 50% of the population on the planet, and we're not going to talk about menstrual products and blood cloths and hygiene? In fact, thank you, Texter. See, let me tell you all this thing. We have a thing in this country. Like, in fact, we have a law in this country that says if you have a business open to the public, you're supposed to have a bathroom that is accessible by the public. But it turns out the places that have the longest wait end to either have no bathroom accessible, wink, wink, banks, or they are virtually inaccessible because they are broken all the time or they are not clean. Imagine that. You go into the bank, you know you're going to be at the bank for a minimum of an hour, and there are no bathrooms. They say it's a security issue. The same way you could put ATMs on the outside of the building is the same way you could put a bathroom on the outside of the building, but still secured. We make up 50% of the population, and we need to change our feminine hygiene protection when it is necessary, or we could get ill and die. The same way men like to talk about they have to pee on the side of the road because they have urinary issues and they could die. And I want to say good morning to the gentleman that thought it prudent to urinate on the side of the Guardian building in front of people sitting in their cars. Good morning. But that's another reason why we need a bathroom. Now, I can be honest with you. That don't have nothing to do with the Guardian. That's a bad mind person. Because the Guardian have bathroom accessible to the public all the time, properly maintained, stellar, sparkling bathrooms. So nice that sometimes I don't worry about using the bathroom at home because I know I go into the Guardian. So there are reasons why we need these bathrooms. Varying reasons. The most important one is because the virtually all women bleed once a month and need access to basic bathroom facilities. So it ain't no ploy and it ain't no promise. It's something that should have been done a long time ago and forever. Morning, Aaron. Elimination of customs is no guarantee that prices will fall, because ultimately pricing in this regard is up to the local distributors. I have no trust in them that they can help themselves to do the right thing and still not charge the same price while costs have dropped just to be greedy. Well, Texter, I can't say I agree on the just to be greedy side. What I can say is this, though, you're right. Without regulations, right? Without legislation and provisions to regulate the end prices of items, then who knows what's going to happen? So I'd like to see that as well. Thank you, Texter. I read the text. Love you and your show. Well-educated, strong Bahamian woman gives us hope. Thank you. Thank you very much, Texter. Please remember that it was the PLP that implemented VAT, including on feminine products. Boy, you just setting the FNM right up for a bruising. But that's okay. Kermit, it's a great time to go to a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the upcoming debate series.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green on this Thursday, the 27th of May, 2021. I don't have much time left, so let's get into this brief message. Save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Or two, get a payment plan. Foreigners can receive a 100% waiver on surcharge. This offer ends May 31st, 2021. And for further information, you can email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778 toll free. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Good morning, Dr. Curry and guests. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
Good, good. Have I lost my other guests?
No, I'm still here, Aaron.
Good, good. I am so sorry that I kept you all waiting, except I am not sorry because I needed to have that word. I do believe I needed to have that word with Mr. Kwesi Thompson this morning. But listen to the debate. June 1st is the second debate in the debate series. Correct?
That is correct.
All right.
June 1st.
And what is the topic, what is the theme for the second debate?
For the second debate, we're looking at COVID-19 and climate change.
Awesome. And so I know that Mr. Gaskins may have to go. So let's get into that portion of the discussion. I know that this second debate is going to be different from the first debate for several reasons. You want to tell us why, Mr. Curry?
Well, we're definitely going to have persons who are specialists or chairpersons of their parties. And I think I'm at liberty to actually give you the names on the air quickly.
Okay.
And then I'm sure you'd want to speak to Joey about the polling and also Dr. Donovan Moxey, who is the president and CEO of Mobile Assist. So let me just run the names through you quickly.
Okay.
First of all, from the PLP, we have Dr. Melissa Evans. She actually is the co-chair of the PLP's COVID task force.
Okay.
Right? And then we have from the BNA, Dr. Carneal Farquharson. We have from the KGM, the leader of the party, and a doctor himself, Dr. Kevin King. From the BDM, we have Shameen Lindsay, a former Miss Bahamas and a candidate for, I think it's Freetown for the BDM. For the BCP, we have their chairperson, Dwayne Heiler. And for the COI, that's the Coalition of Independents, we have Erika Sands, who is also a former Miss Bahamas and the candidate for Killarney.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I'll get back to you. Joey Gaskins, good morning.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Tell us.
Good to hear your voice.
Always, always. Tell us, what is new in the polling features for this debate?
So, Aaron, I'm on your show today, and thanks for having us to represent Open Current, which is the strategic public relations firm, strategic communication, the public relations firm. I'm a senior partner, and one of the things that we specialize in for our clients, specifically in the work that we do around public relations and strategic comms, is gathering research and insights for our clients to inform their strategic work. So what we are doing in partnership with the University of the Bahamas and Verizon Media Group, Eyewitness News, and Mobile Assist is to recruit Bahamians from across the country to participate in live polling activities during the course of the debate. So Aaron, you may know that we have an 18-seat call center at our offices where we do national polling, we do political polling, market research. What we've done is we've leveraged that call center using random sampling and our survey administrators to call 7,000 households across the Bahamas random. Recruit 401, I think is the last count, Bahamians through a very rigorous recruitment process, which includes, are you over 18? Are you registered to vote? Do you have access to television or streaming to watch the debates? All of those questions that brought us to a group of recruits that Eyewitness News and Mobile Assist and the University of the Bahamas can use as a kind of panel or focus group to ask questions during the course of the debates. So it's our hope that Bahamians see almost in real time how their fellow Bahamians are reacting to points being made during the course of the debate performance, and how that reaction may have changed, for example, their voting patterns, their support, or their interest in a particular topic or issue. And so that's how we are approaching the recruitment and research part of the debates on our side as Open Current.
Great, great. Because when that young man picked up the mace or the thing in the debate, I was excited, right? I was like, Okay. But then as soon as he threw it, I wanted to say, hey, buddy, listen, I wanted to write in right away and say, my man, You just lost 35 points.
Right. I mean, you know, this is one of the great things about doing polling, right? You know, Aaron, you started the show specifically talking about the removal of VAT on feminine hygiene products.
Mm-hmm.
Polling is useful, and this kind of public opinion research is useful to help understand public reactions to things like the throwing of the mace during a debate or to serious policy issues like where should we be laying out concessions.
Yeah.
So again, we want to leverage our ability to gather those insights, which we do for our public sector and private sector clients, to aid in informing the way that we conduct these debates over the course of the next few weeks, starting with this first debate of the three on June 1st.
Awesome. Very good. Okay. Listen, I think this is awesome. Let me tell you why. Because we sort of tend to look at Bahamian voters and say, oh, they're so foolish. Oh, they're so silly and naive. Look, they vote for this, they vote for that, da-da-da-da. But I don't believe that's correct. I think our voters are more savvy than we think they are. I think we don't understand what motivates how they motivates them to vote.
Yep.
And adding another type of engagement with the voter may help us better understand the voter as opposed to just turning around and saying, oh, they just consume.
No, I absolutely think I think all of those points are absolutely correct, Aaron. I've been involved in polling, national polling, now through, it'll be two election cycles.
Mm-hmm.
But our polling apparatus, particularly through our partner company, Public Domain, has been doing that this through three election cycles. And one of the things you learn very quickly is that Bahamians ain't stupid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They are very much aware of what's going on around them in their environment. We have failed as people who operate in the political space or people who operate in communication space. We have failed to understand what is actually motivating the voters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like from the outside that we impose sometimes our own assumptions, especially when it comes to our assumptions around class and education, Aaron, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
We impose those assumptions on the Bahamian voter, thinking that we know them as a monolith. What you learn very quickly from polling, and you see this through the breakdown around demographics, for example, is that Bahamians are gathering, they are crowding around the interests that matter to them. They understand what is going on around them in their environment, and they probably have a better grasp on national issues than the people who are making decisions about those national issues. And you see that laid out in the poll, especially when you look at their reaction around certain issues as it relates to age,
mm-hmm.
and income,
mm-hmm.
education. And to your earlier point on feminine hygiene products, it would be very interesting to see a split on public opinion or support, and if we can go further, based around gender. So polling is not just the big numbers, do you support, do you not support, but it's also about digging beyond that or beneath that to look at how Bahamians are congealing based on their demographics around certain issues or reacting to certain issues in particular ways based on those demographics. So very interesting. I think the big point here is that the Bahamian voter is not a monolith. They are smarter than we like to credit for.
Oh yeah.
And we can go a longer way to understanding what motivates them. I think that those are the three key takeaways.
Absolutely. I think it's important for third parties and other parties and independents to take advantage of every mechanism that is available to them to better understand the audience they are trying to engage. But
absolutely.
Now, guys, I heard there's something possibly even more exciting than me getting to participate in this debate without leaving my house. Mr. Moxie, good morning.
Good morning to you, Aaron. How you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, man,
Appreciate it.
Good morning. So what does Mobile Assist bring into this debate on June 1st?
Yeah, we have, in keeping with the polling, we've been partnering with the University of Bahamas now for a while. And so what we're doing is we're giving everyday rank and file Bahamians the opportunity to participate in polling as well. As Mr. Mm-hmm. Gastons would have outlined, he's got a focus group that mm-hmm. he's working with. And what we're doing as part of this particular event is we're providing a polling platform through our Mobile Assist application, where every single Bahamian, all you need to do is download the app. It's free. And then once you've downloaded the app, there's no need to register. You can go ahead and take the poll. And so we would encourage every single Bahamian to let their opinions be counted.
Okay. So now let me ask you a question. I'm a human rights advocate, political advocate. Is it possible for me as an individual to gain access to the data that you are collecting and producing?
What we do, because we're working in concert with the University of the Bahamas, all mm-hmm. of the polling data is provided to Dr. Curry for he and his team to conduct the analysis.
Okay.
And with respect to making that data or the details of that data public, that's entirely up to University of the Bahamas. I'm sure they will make their decisions with respect to how they publish or when they publish that data. But obviously, Dr. Curry can answer that question better than I can.
Absolutely. And we don't need to get into that now. Once I know it's going to the university, I'm sure that they are going to correlate it or put it together in a format that is easily digestible by the wider public, but also suits a specific academic and public papers, right? Like, we can go to the university and get it.
I put out a call for papers for my School of Social Scientist colleagues to in fact, analyze the data that's been provided by these three polling companies, Intel, Island Current, and of course, Mobile Assist, collating all of that together and of course, making sense of it in an op-ed, which we hope the university will, in the first instance, publish. But secondarily, we'd want it published in one of our dailies, certainly. So the university is going to be doing that in the near future.
All right. So now listen, a little birdie told me that maybe it's possible that if I watch the whole debate on June 1st, that I'll have an opportunity to decide who is going to be on the debate panel for the next debate. And I already know I want to see Carl Kulmer and Fred Mitchell tag, right? Like in a tag team match. So they're the first two, and then Brave Davis and Hubert Minnis, right? So Minnis and Kulmer in a tag team match against Brill. That's who I want to see. Is this going to be possible?
Well, what we're doing is, remember, we have four thematic debates.
Yeah.
And while it was our hope for the second one that we would have chairpersons, we altered that based on the feedback we got from the parties where they felt because of the nature of the topic, COVID-19 and climate change, they wanted specialists to debate. So we tweaked our invite to include both chairpersons and specialists or specialists. And so that's why you're seeing the lineup we have, which I think is an excellent lineup for the second debate. The other thing I want to say is what we did for this debate was we actually polled the Bahamian people and we used both Intel and Island Current to determine the rankings of those top six parties. You know, there's 11 parties registered in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And so we actually allowed the Bahamian people to determine who got put on the stage. And it just so happened to turn out the top six were the six that also debated in the first debate. And so the data from the polling actually verified what we as a committee kind of already knew. But we wanted to make our decision-making based on data and analytics rather based on just a supposition or an opinion. And that's what we're so happy about. And we can use this sort of polling to move forward with our strategizing for the third and fourth debate.
Awesome. That is wonderful. Now, I'm going to throw this question out there just in case anybody who is on the Zoom call can answer. We know that the question is, do you still register to vote if the government is using the past register, i.e. if you've not moved into a new area or you're not a new voter? So if you have a voter's card already from the last election, do you need to go back in to register again?
My understanding is no. As long as you have a 2017 voter's registration card and you haven't moved to a new constituency or you haven't been displaced because of Dorian, you can still use that old voter's card.
All right.
If it's been tampered or damaged or you've moved to another or a new voter, mm-hmm. Then that would be subject to change.
Okay, but like if I came into a massive inheritance of, say, like 1,000 mango trees, the changing of my economic status doesn't mean I have to come in and register again, right?
No, but I would hope you would share those mangoes.
Boy, look, yeah, I don't know. I will share them because I'm afraid of pinches. And you're never too old to get pinched by people who love you. Bahamians, don't never forget that. I see we got a call on the line, guys. Kermit, let's see who this caller is. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning.
My name is Green. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I am great, and good morning to your guest. Ms. Green, I want to ask, I think that's Dr. Curry?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask him something. Okay, as a Bahamian in this country, when it comes to, in particular, young people, why is it that if you have, you know, persons, political parties, well, as I understand, there are only three registered political parties, but parties, why is it that the leading government party refuse to send even a young person if you believe in so in these young people and you want these opportunities for these young people, why can't you send someone that you feel confident enough to represent the young people of your party and also to represent the young people of this nation? That's one. Why is it that you're the leader of a country? You're the leader. You're in the second or the third in command. You're the first or the brigadier general, whatever you call yourself. Why is it that you don't feel fit, that you cannot stand up and talk to the same people who elect you to be where you is, to be the leader? Why you cannot, why you can't see fit to stand up and answer questions? So what do you want persons like me to have? You know, the first thing kicks in, Mr. Curry, conspiracy theory. And when conspiracy theory kicks in, persons who support wants to get mad. But if your leader has nothing to hide, to say, why can't he stand and defend his party or defend himself in a debate? That's a serious question.
It is.
Because if you cannot stand up and answer questions, right, I don't think the people who, when you come to their donation, answer questions too.
Thank you.
Have a good day, y'all.
Yeah, man, thank you. Dr. Curry.
Let me try and answer that by using some statistics. So Intel Key had a very interesting statistic. They asked the question about the impact that the FNM not attending their debates would have. And 79%, or 4 out of every 5 that were polled, say that the FNM's decision to not join the debate series has a negative impact on their view of the party. That's 4 out of every 5 polled. And that's not a small sample. That's a 429 total respondents. I will also show you by same sort of data from Intel that the question about who they wanted to debate is interesting, because the PLP and the PLP and the DNA has benefited from the debates. Not only was the PLP's Justin Smith determined to be the winner by polling from the last one, but the DNA and the PLP are the top of the top 6 that we polled for who we wanted to see debate. The FNM is in third place. So even though our national polling suggests that the PLP and the FNM are ahead by a count of, I think, 36% to 33%, and the DNA is around 10%, as it relates to who they want to see debate, it seems that third parties like the DNA are doing much better. But it also shows very clearly that the FNM is losing out by choosing not to go to the debate. Mm-hmm. Their numbers are down. They're now at the same level as the DNA as it relates to those polls that we've taken nationally. And it suggests that 4 out of 5, that's a very difficult figure. 79% Bahamians feel that the FNM's decision not to had a negative impact or impression on how they think about that party.
Oh, yeah. And this is why we need to do more polling. We need more data. We need more statistics to analyze, right? To get a sense of what's happening. My reading of it is slightly different because I don't have no data. I don't have no numbers. But I would say because the political culture dictates it, right? Why would you answer questions if you're already the boss? You only answer questions when you're trying to be the boss. Right,
but that to me seems like a very authoritarian and dare I say arrogant perspective, because you're basically turning your back on the people and the premier tertiary institution of the Bahamas that has invited you to participate in what I could only see as a deepening of democracy.
Yep, and considering the degree of oversight that the government still has for the university, the university's failure is the government's failure. I want to say to Bannister, you're responsible for that too, sir. Minister of Work, see if you could get it to work, the education to work.
And let me just say too, like, you know, our polling is not biased per se, because we have had, like, Joey would have took a lot of time talking about how he whittled down his calls from 7,000 down to 401. That's to get the most independent, neutral persons involved in his focus groups.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Moxie will tell you that he has a very rigorous polling system that allows people to basically take his poll within 2 minutes if you don't go through the registration process. And there's no allegiance to one party over another. It's a very secret, private polling. You're not going to be victimized by people knowing your information. That's not going to happen. Mobile Assist has taken great care to ensure sure that, I'm sure Donovan would want to talk about that.
Yeah, our polling, thanks, Dr. Curry, our polling is completely anonymous. All the data that's collected does not personally identify anyone in terms of who you are, your phone number, your name, your email address. None of that is collected. And like I said earlier, all of that data that's collected actually belongs to the University of the Bahamas. So we turn to experts, then we'll analyze that data. And so for us, we created a very simple, very easy, very anonymous process. And it's one in keeping with allowing all Bahamians to be able to participate. And so it's a free app. You download it. There's a button right on the home screen that you tap. And you can take the poll immediately and get it done within 2 minutes.
Absolutely. And I know that Bahamians will value that anonymity. You know, we are very Absolutely. Concerned about political victimization. Now, as an aside, let me just say, some of y'all ain't concerned at all. Some of y'all just, you know, put on your political shirt, leave your government office, start campaigning on the way out. They're just brave. Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for joining me this morning. I am opening, Dr. Curry, we've spoken about a potential recap on June the 2nd to see how...
Yes, looking forward to that.
I would really like you to come. Otherwise, I will be forced to make jokes about the current political culture. But it would be great to...
I'll be there.
Yeah, it would be great to have you on board. I have a text here before we go. Aaron, you know Carl Cummer is no match for Fred Mitchell. Fred will chew him up and spit him out. Carl Cummer can't think off his feet. On his feet will be Weiser. LOL, and trust me, I'm not being biased here. I can be honest with all of y'all. Fred Mitchell is not allowed to debate anybody unless the elder women of Fox Hill are on the stage next to him so they could pinch him when it is necessary. Because sometimes, no matter how old we get, we still need somebody nearby to help us moderate our behavior. I hope you hear that, Mr. Mitchell. Please stop talking to people bad. It's inappropriate, it's unbecoming, and our young more. I got one more text, guys. I'm a proud FNM, and I don't need my leader or party to participate in the debate if it is not the right format. Dear gentlemen, don't say anything else. Let me close out the show. I'm not sure that the current administration knows what the right format is. But surely it should trust the country's premier tertiary institution, which it has oversight for. That's the easiest thing to do. But I appreciate your allegiance to your party, and I'm glad that you're proud. Like, we all proud to be Bahamians, and we all proud to be humans. It's just a thing. It's a natural vibe. So have a great day, Bahamas. Be proud of yourself today for being the best person you could be. Dr. Curry, Mr. Moxie, Mr. Gaskins, thank you so much for joining the show today. And we will continue this debate discussion on June the 2nd. It's been wonderful having you tune into the show, audience. Thank you to my caller for engaging. Just a last test. Good morning, Ms. Green. I hope PLP give DeWitt a good job. I must say he is not easy, always on point when he talks. Good show, Ms. Green. Thank you. There are people out there who want to contribute to their country, and they measure themselves and they practice and they work on it because they want to make sure we all headed in the right direction. So thank you, DeWitt. Thank you to all my callers and texters. Have a great day, Bahamas, and stay tuned to 96.9 FM because my man, Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.